Okay, Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. If you find that, if you want to mind to stand, as we read in our bulletin, it's 1 through 7, but actually we're going to go ahead and read all the way through verse 8. So Joshua chapter 13, and our reading will start in verse number 1. I can relate to verse number 1. Amen. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron, northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five borders of the Philistines, the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, and the Eshkalonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and the Avites. Got it? From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Merara, oh goodness, this, that is the Sidonians, and Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites. I thought it was Gibeonites, but it's not. Giblites and all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering unto Hamath. Okay? You guys knew all that already, but we had to read it. It's here. Okay, verse 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mizrephothmaim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. I'll stop our reading there. The message tonight is this: fulfill your responsibility and then give the rest to God. Fulfill your responsibility, give the rest to God. We'll pray and get into it tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how you've worked already in our church family today. Thank you for all that you've done as we've recounted your blessings, and thankful that we can also bring requests unto you. And we're looking forward to that here in just a moment. But we're thankful for your word and how it speaks. Thank you for Joshua and how you used him, and Lord, the example he was. And Lord, thank you for what you did in the life of Israel. And God, we're thankful that you're the same God that we serve and how you intend to work in our lives. And Lord, do mighty things through the life of Valley Avenue Baptist Church and through the lives of each and every one in this auditorium tonight. Help us recognize that. Help us to trust you, follow you tonight. Love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So as we read, Joshua's old. Okay? He's old, well stricken in years. He's at the end of his life. So that's what verse 1 kind of tells us. We're getting close to the end of Joshua's leadership, and really even to the end of his life. But God wasn't quite done with Joshua yet. He still needed Joshua to divide the land that God had given him. And after he's done dividing the land, well, he'll do that all the way up until, I believe, chapter 23. And we'll have the exciting land deeds of Israel to look through, but he'll, at the end of that, in chapter 23, he'll give his farewell speech as he nears the end of his life and of his ministry and leadership over Israel. Now, up until this point, we've been talking for the last few weeks that really that the book of Joshua has presented Canaan as defeated, right, as done. If you look in chapter 11, verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land, it says. Now here's the important part. According to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. And so up until this point, really the way that it's been presented is that Israel has taken Canaan. And it says the whole land. But then if you look at verse 1 of our text, you'll see this. And Joshua is old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, all of that, thou art old and stricken in years. And then there remaineth, it says, very much land to be possessed. And so what's the deal here? Did they take the land, or is there a lot of land left? Well, the answer is yes. They took the land. The land of Canaan now belongs to Israel. And really, this seems to be the theme as you look at the rest of the book. Chapter 21, 43, and the Lord says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein." And then later on it says, "And here's the land that's still left to be taken." And so the idea is this, that Joshua and Israel had taken all the land that God wanted him to take, and Israel had come and possessed the land, and they own the land. When they came in, that wasn't the case, right? They were really infiltrating the land, but now they have ownership of it, and the rest is as good as taken. We'll see that tonight. And so God is saying this, you, Joshua, you're at the end of your journey, and we did what I've commanded you to do, but there's still more to be taken. And in the Christian life, that's kind of how it is, that we are where God wants us to be, but there's still more to be done. And even when we get to the end of our journey, there's still more to be done. Amen? This is the kind of the way it is. And so Joshua is there at the end of his life, and he has accomplished what God intended for him to accomplish. But there's still yet land to be possessed. Verse 2 through the beginning of verse 6, all of that fun, all those fun names of cities and towns detail exactly what land is actually left to be taken. Verses 2 and 3 describe the territories of the Philistines. Now, if you know David and all of that, you know that they fought with the Philistines for a while. And so verses 2 and 3 deal with the territories of the Philistines and their neighbors. And this really, if you think of Israel as the south and west side of Canaan, that there's still some left there. Verses 4 through the first part of verse 6 describe the northern and eastern side of Canaan. That's the Phoenician coastland, the mountainous territories of Lebanon up in the north and east side. And so these are just scattered around pockets of the land that still need to be possessed. And really, that Israel owns the land. They've taken the land, but there's still inhabitants that need to be driven out. Amen? So that's kind of where they are right there. But that struggle, all of that we just talked about, the Philistines and the Phoenicians and the those in Lebanon, these are fights that Joshua is not going to be involved in. He's gonna stop what he's doing. His battles are all done. He has fought the fights, the battles that God had him to fight. And now what's happening is he was to take and divide the land. He's going to divide the land. If you look in verse 6, toward the middle there, it says, back up a little bit. Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. And so God said he's going to take care of those people. Those that are left, God says, they're still there, Joshua, but you've done your part. Israel is now owner. They now possess the land. Now it's just a matter of driving out the inhabitants. And God said, listen, it's as good as done. I'll take care of that, Joshua. God says, Joshua, you don't worry about those people. We just listed. Does that make sense? And so all that was left now for Joshua to do was to divide the land. To divide the land of the 9 1/2 tribes west of the Jordan, under God's guidance. This is Joshua's job now. This is his responsibility. The fighting chapter of his life is now closed, and now we get to the middle of verse 6 where it says, only divide thou it, the land that we're talking about, by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. So this is what Joshua now will do, really until the end of his life, is he's going to spend the time doing the dividing of the land. As Moses commanded Joshua, and as God commanded Joshua to take the land and divide it among the people. Now he's got to divide the 9 1/2 tribes that are on this side of Jordan. If you look at verse 8, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And so, if you remember, when we started Joshua, do you remember when they crossed over Jordan And do you remember what Joshua told the 2.5 tribes on that side? Because Moses had already divided the land on that side Jordan. So those 2.5 tribes, they have their possession already. Moses did that. And remember, Joshua said, now you have your possession, but you need to cross with your brothers. Remember that? And you need to help them take their possession. And now that's happened. And so now, as Moses had divided those 2.5 tribes and given them their inheritance, now Joshua now is going to divide the rest of the 12 tribes, the rest of the 9.5 tribes that are left. How are we doing? Does that all make sense? This is Joshua's responsibility. And that's really what we're going to kind of dig into and explain over the next several weeks as we deal with chapters 13 through 23. But for today, we're just going to stop our reading there and stop our explanation there and make this point that Joshua, he didn't need to worry about the rest of the Canaanites. God had given him Canaan land. That was Joshua's responsibility. Joshua, God told Joshua, you lead my people into the land, you take the land, you divide the land. And so he had done that first part of his job, of his responsibility. He had led Israel into the land, he had taken the land, and now he has to focus on dividing it. But here's the problem, is God is saying there are still Canaanites in the land. And God is making very clear to Joshua, you don't worry about those. Here's what God is telling him. Those Canaanites are not your responsibility. God said, I'll take care of that. All that was left for him was to divide the land. Now if you think about it, whenever God does that, he will use people, right? He's going to use leadership in Israel later on to do this. But God says, you leave that to me. I'll use somebody else for that. Joshua doesn't have to do everything. You see, Joshua had his responsibilities, which was to lead them into the land and to divide the land. So God wanted Joshua to, by faith, focus on what God had called him to do, and then trust God to use somebody else to do what they're supposed to do. Everyone has their own responsibilities. And in his own understanding, it might have seemed premature to go ahead and start dividing the land. Because some of this land, while they owned it, they couldn't inhabit it yet. There were Canaanites there. And so in Joshua's military mind, he might have been tempted to think, no, let's just go ahead and finish the thing. Let's go ahead and take care of those Canaanites, then we'll divide the land. But God said, no, I want you to trust me with that, and I want you to, by faith, trust that I'll take care of those in my time. And you do what I'm telling you to do, Joshua, and you divide the land, and you give to each tribe their portion. You didn't have to worry about all of that. Yeah, that was not his responsibility. Listen, Joshua had enough work ahead of him, taking care of what he needed to do, than to care and worry about what God wanted others to do. Can I say that again? Because that'll help us. Joshua had enough to worry about to focus on what God had him to do than to stress and worry and care about what God has others to do. And God's telling him to focus on that. Focus on your responsibility, God says. And that'll help us tonight. We need to focus on what you this tonight. You need to focus on what God has called you to do. You have enough work to do with what God has called you to do to be out worrying and stressing about what God has somebody else to do. It's kind of funny how this dovetails, but do you remember Wednesday night how we talked about those who failed, who refused to work, who refused to take responsibility and refused to get out and work a job? What did Paul call them? He said, you're not being busy, you're being busybodies. Remember that? And so if we get our focus off of our responsibility, we'll be tempted to start focusing on everybody else's responsibilities. But the reverse is true too. If we get caught up in what everybody else is supposed to be doing, there's a good chance we're not going to be focusing well on what we're supposed to be doing. So you don't need to worry about everyone else's responsibility. Oh, but Pastor, they're not doing this. They're not doing, okay, pause. Hold on, wait. Is that your responsibility? You focus on what God has you to do. Now, there are people in place that are leaders that do need to confront and help others who aren't doing their responsibility. But don't take authority on yourself that you don't have. Because if you do that, you're going to get sidetracked and become a busybody, and you're going to be pulled away from what God has you to do. You have enough to worry about than to try to get everybody else to be doing what they need to be doing. How are we doing? Yeah, and that goes for leaders too. We have a responsibility to help others along the way, but here's the thing. We cannot control other people. We can only do what God has called us to do. And we can get ourselves all stressed out, worrying about everybody else's responsibility and to the neglect of our own. We talked this morning about forgiveness. Remember that? If someone's hurt you, your responsibility is to let go of the bitterness and to always be ready to forgive. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Now, they do have a responsibility to repent, but that's not your place. So don't worry about whether or not they're going to repent. That's their responsibility. Your responsibility is to let go of the bitterness and to be ready to forgive when they do repent. Now, there is a burden that's appropriate because you love them and you want to be right with them. But careful about crossing that line where you're now trying to take on their responsibility. You can explain their fault to them, Jesus said. That's also your responsibility. If someone has hurt you, someone's offended you, then you rebuke so that they will repent and so that you can forgive. But if they won't do their responsibility, you listen, even if you don't get to actually forgive them, you have conquered your land if you have dropped the bitterness and you're ready to forgive, whether or not they do their part. How are we doing? Are we following? And don't get stressed out about this. You just do what God's called you to do. You can only control you. You can't control them. You do what your job of this side of the equation, and then you just trust God with the rest of that. You see? And by the way, the same is true on the other end of forgiveness. If you have hurt somebody, and you'll be on both sides of this in your life many times, if you have hurt somebody, then your responsibility is then to go and repent to them and ask for forgiveness. And if they say, well, I'm not going to forgive you, I just want you to stew on this before I'm ready to forgive. No, you don't have to do that. Your job is to repent and ask for forgiveness humbly. If they will not forgive you, you're done. Your side is done. You ask God to forgive you, He will every time. You ask that person to forgive you. If they won't, that's not your responsibility. You have conquered your battle. You have conquered your land, your Canaan, when you repent and ask for forgiveness, whether or not they grant it. You see? Yeah. You can't do anything about their side. You can only do something about your side. How about evangelism? You cannot make anybody get saved. We would sure like to, but you can't. Now, you can pressure them and you can force them to repeat a prayer, but you cannot make anyone get saved. Your responsibility is just to be a good testimony, to give the gospel, to invite them to church, things like that. But it's up to them to decide, you see. And if, as long as you've told them the gospel, you've done your part, you've conquered the land. And success in the Christian life is not based on how many people respond. Success is being faithful to do your responsibility. Noah preached righteousness for 120 years, and nobody believed him, but he was successful. He had conquered his land, although he had no souls notched in his belt. You You see? Because we just do our responsibility. We cannot control how others repent or not. By the way, God doesn't even control that. God has given them free will. God does not make them get saved or not saved. Now, God will convict, and God will bring illumination to them, but God does not force people to get saved or not get saved, does He? It's up to that person. Jesus preached the gospel to many people who rejected it. But He wasn't a failure, was He? He gave the greatest evangelism speech of all time in John 3 to Nicodemus. John 3:16, He said to Nicodemus, and you know what Nicodemus did? He walked away. Now, there's good evidence to think he got saved later down the road, but Jesus let him walk because his responsibility was to give the gospel. But they need to decide whether or not. And we don't need to pressure and manipulate. We just do our responsibility and give the gospel and let God bring conviction and let that man or that woman, that lady, that child, whoever it is, decide for themselves. That's their responsibility. See? So you don't need to worry about that. You just worry about giving the gospel and being a good testimony. How about marriage? Your responsibility is to love your spouse unconditionally. And they may not love you the way God has called them to love you. It could be that. But don't focus on that. You can't control your spouse. You can control you. And don't worry, don't be stressed out about the fact that they're not maybe loving the way they should love. No, you just focus on loving them the way God has called you to love them, you see. And we focus on what God has called us to do. Raising children. You cannot make your children obey. I mean, I pretty much, no, not even, nope. You can't make them obey. But that's not your responsibility anyway. Your responsibility is not to make your children obey. Your responsibility is to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means you love your children unconditionally and you admonish them, you correct them when they're wrong. That's your job as a parent. But your child is not a robot. And you cannot make your children obey or not obey. You cannot make your children love the Lord. You can't. And you can't wear that pressure either. You can just do what God's called you to do, which is to parent them well. Yeah. Don't get focused on their responsibility. Be focused on your responsibility. You see? This is helpful, isn't it? And sometimes we get stressed out when somebody else isn't fulfilling their responsibility. You remember Mary and Martha when Jesus came to their house and Martha was in the kitchen and all over getting the house ready and she thought Mary should be helping her, and she got all stressed out. Jesus said she was cumbered, she was overloaded, she was overwhelmed. Why? Because she was focused on Mary and Mary not doing what Martha thought Mary should be doing. And Jesus says, stop it. Mary's doing what she ought to be doing, and you are stressed out because you're focused on somebody else not doing what they're supposed to do. Don't be focused on everybody else's responsibility. Focus on your own. Don't focus on other church members who you feel aren't doing what you think they should be doing. And maybe they're not involved enough as they should be. Or maybe they're not faithful enough to church. Listen, time out. Hold on. That's not your job to worry about that. You be involved. You serve the Lord. You be faithful to church. And you let God deal with that person or not. But that's not your job. If you keep doing this, you're going to get bitter, and you're going to get, like we said this morning, proud, and start to think things like you're worthy and they're not. Careful. No, you have enough to worry about with your own responsibilities. You see. Yeah. And the other thing is this, if we're not careful, we can try to manipulate people, can't we? And we see somebody who's not doing what we think they ought to do. Even if there's biblical mandate for it. God says they should be doing this. Okay, but God does not say that you should be telling them what God tells them to do. That's not your job. You focus on what God has you to do. Now, you can admonish and help them along the way, but we can manipulate people into doing what God has called them to do. It's not our place. What's our responsibility? If we see someone who we feel is not following God and not doing what God has called them to do, here's what God's given us responsibility to do. We warn the unruly. We just tell them, hey, I noticed that you're on this path, and I'm concerned about you here. And we warn them. We do not badger them, right? We do not hound them. We warn them out of compassion. We admonish. We can give the gospel to the lost. We can pray. But in the end, we cannot control other people. We can't. We can't make other people do what God wants them to do. And if you're trying to do that, you're off. You can't. We need to focus on ourselves. Joshua could have said, but God, what if they don't do what you're telling them to do? What if they don't take Canaan land? God says, stop worrying about that. I can handle that. You focus on what God has you to do. And by faith, fulfill your responsibility and give the rest to God. Give the rest to God. Pray for them. Hey, let's not stop having a burden. If we see someone who's not doing right or something that in our estimation maybe isn't doing what they ought to be doing, let's have a burden. Let's pray. Let's admonish. But be careful not to manipulate. Be careful not to look down on. Let's leave all of that between them and God. And let's spend our time worrying less about what others should be doing and worrying more about what God has called us to do. And if you do that, you'll find that you have a lot more that God has you to do than what you realize. Because sometimes we're so busy gossiping and talking to everybody else about everybody else's problems. And our brains aren't built to handle all their problems and our problems. And as we're focusing and getting on Facebook and whatever social media or just talking amongst ourselves and talking behind the backs of others and worrying about that what everybody else is not doing, there's a good chance that you might be letting something slip because you're not giving proper attention to what God has called you to do. Let's just do that, amen? Let's do that. And if everyone does that, God will bless. God will bless. And the land will be taken, the land will be divided, and God will work in a way, in a mighty, incredible way. But we need to focus on our responsibility. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. Lord, thank you for the example that Joshua set. God, and really there's no indication that he questioned you, but Lord, the temptation was clearly there. And we're thankful for the example he set. Lord, to stop the battles and let others face their battles as he has faced his, and to focus on what it is you have called him to do. Help us to do that this morning. God, we can make a full-time job out of looking for other people's problems. But Lord, truly, we have a full-time job with our own. And help us, Lord, focus on those things. Help us, God, to pray like David did, that you would search our hearts and try us and see if there's any wicked way. And Lord, as you continue to work on us, as we continue to take more of the land that you've called us to take, that we would focus on our fights and leave the rest to you. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand together for the Josh.